Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
You like fantasy sports and sarcasm, then I shall not make your muscles start to spasm. They could even call some of you to orgasm. It's a Razzball Podcast. Well, you have several choices, only one joke in your arsenal for radio voices. You might be yourself, just like your name was Moises. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Nick Capozzi. We have a great show for you like we do every week, and it's an extra special show today because Rudy, who wasn't with us last week, made it back from Ethiopia. How was your trip to Addis Ababa this time, Rudy?
You know, it was pretty good. I mean, I've got those, those plates where you could do anything you want?
Yeah.
What do you call those license plates? I can't remember.
I thought you meant dinner plates.
Diplomatic immunity.
Oh, diplomatic immunity?
Oh, yeah. So I had diplomatic immunity. So I would just, every restaurant I'd go to, I'd put my hands in everyone's plates. Like, let me see what you got there. Let me take some sponge bread and see what you got.
Injera.
So we are joined. Sorry,
it looked like
we are joined.
Ethiopia. Get your hands off my yak.
I don't know. I guess it's goat. It's got one of those little goatees hanging out of it. I think they'd shave.
Actually, Ethiopia is known for its stews. They make great stews over in Ethiopia.
Yeah, but you have to use that spongy bread to eat it. It's not
yeah.
So no offense to our Ethiopian listeners.
Yeah.
But
no, I do not, believe not that Ethiopia has always been Dinty Moore's favorite African country.
So Rudy Gamble is back with us, and we're thankful to have him. And, of course, we're also joined by Gray Albright. Gray, how are you today?
Good, Nick.
So, Rudy, just to catch up, I know, obviously, you downloaded and listened to the podcast for your flight back. But I was just curious, Gray and I discussed a lot of the trade deadline wheeling and dealings. I don't want to spend more than just a minute on it, because we went in depth on last week's podcast, but did you have any particular insights that you wanted to share on some of the deadline deals?
You have 23 seconds left. Go.
No, I don't have too much there. I mean, I think it was a very interesting trade deadline. There was a lot more guys going than I felt like it was like last year. But I'll tell you, I mean, like guys like Greinke and Dempster, who I'd be really excited about for them to go to the AL West, just feels like they're just getting beat up out there,
right?
From offenses, you're just praying that you get like a week of Seattle and Oakland. But Angels Texas is turning into a bloodbath.
And now next year the Houston Astros are going to be in the AL West too, so it's going to be that's going to be the group of death.
Yeah, I told you, give it 5 years, man. The Astros are going to be in the AL Championship Series in 5 years. They got smart people. And they're gonna have a shit ton of money.
Just five, like Texas. 5 years from 2019.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't. I left out that part. Yeah. Give it 7 years. That team really has no
money. Doesn't have a DH. It's going to American League with nothing.
Well, one thing that was really interesting with the trade deadline was everyone that the Dodgers were scooping up. They've also, or at least rumored to be the team that's put a claim in on Cliff Lee, although as of the time we're taping this, that has yet to be settled. So question for you, Gray, are the Dodgers I don't want to say the new Yankees, but I mean, they're obviously not afraid to spend money right now.
Yeah. Should I expand on that?
I'm glad you went through the questions before the show.
Yeah.
I'd say like the Dodgers are like, the new Dodgers, just like the Dodgers were maybe 10 years ago. Because yeah, they were the ones that put that crazy contract in for
Kevin Brown.
For Kevin Brown, they spent like a ridiculous amount of money on Darren Dreifert. I think they were just Scott Boras's peg boys for a while, but they've got a history, you know, recent history of spending a lot, and I think it, you know, during the divorce stuff, it kind of weaned down. But I still don't think the Dodgers will basically kind of even out with like Philadelphia. That over time, I think Dodgers will, you know, not before long have the highest payroll in the NL. But the AL, I think right now the Angels, Texas, New York, and Boston are all, you know, might still be the top four.
Yeah, I think that's fair. See, Gray, just pointing out, Rudy and I on the same page with that. Okay? So you better check yourself. Okay?
my bad. I think Blanton was a good pickup for the Dodgers. I don't necessarily think he's changed that much for his fantasy value. I think he's still around a 4 ERA guy.
Blanton's just a homer. Like, it feels like, yeah, he's pretty hittable.
Have you seen his K's to walks though, yeah, this year?
Yeah, I know. I remember looking at it before and being like shocked that he actually like is the semblance of a very good pitcher this year. I don't believe it. I mean, I believe it happened. I just don't believe it's going to continue to happen. But man, pitching in LA is pretty sweet, and I'm not talking about, you know, any of the fringe benefits.
Yeah, with Alyssa catching.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, didn't get any emails.
Of course you were. Of course you were going
to
say.
Yeah, of course. I was gone for 2 weeks. I had to open it up. But yeah, so Blanton, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, Blanton looks good, I guess, compared to like Aaron Harang.
You know what I love
about
Joe?
Case.
You know what I love about Joe Blanton, though? He's the one guy in baseball that I look at, and I could totally see him having a beer sitting next to me on a couch doing a fantasy draft because he looks like an average Joe.
What about Chris Perez? You don't see Chris Perez on your couch?
Yeah, I don't hang out with guys that have long, shaggy hair like that. You know,
Billy Butler seems like an everyday guy.
Yeah,
same thing. I mean, guys with, you know.
You don't hang out with fat guys? What are you?
He's a fattest. We've confirmed this in previous episodes. But no, yeah, Chris Perez, I fear, would leave one of those grease stains like like Eric LaBelle did in Come Into America. With the Soul Glow kind of patch. It would just be more grease from Chris Perez, though.
Chris Perez, I could see like at the off ramp with the finger out trying to hitch a ride, you know? All right. Anyway, so speaking of anyway, Gray, you wanted me to ask about the Tree of Life.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I did not want you to ask about it. Don't lie.
Well, here it is. What about the Tree of Life, Nick? Can you bring it up in the podcast this week? What?
Yeah, I saw it this weekend. What a mess. Rudy? Did you see it?
No, I got like a kid who's less than one. You're not allowed to see movies anymore.
You know if someone edited out Jar Jar from The Phantom Menace? Yep. They could take Tree of Life and edit out everything except for the credits, and then it might make sense.
Yeah, I mean, just the name, like, I remember hearing a little bit about it, but all you have to see is director Terrence Malick, and it's like...
I like The Thin Red Line, Badlands.
Badlands. I think I got through all of Badlands.
I don't know. Yeah. This was really incomprehensible. About 20 minutes in, I turned to the Cougar and I was like, I would have liked to be in a fly on the wall for the studio execs at Fox who were watching this right after they paid like $30 million for it. It's so like, what is going on? Why is she floating? What's the golden light?
See, I didn't even realize it was a movie. I thought when you were talking about the Tree of Life, this was some reference to Rudy's trip to Ethiopia again.
It's on the flag. It was really bad. It'd probably have an easier time reading Tolstoy in Ancient Sumerian.
It's just like, whoa. We're going above our pay grade there.
Yeah, I don't know. It was real. The editor was probably like, when he got the footage, Terrence, I think there's something wrong with the sound. There's no sound. There's just whispering. And my favorite line from it was,
was the whole thing filmed during magic hour?
Yeah. It was beautiful. Oh, the cinematography was beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, so back.
Yeah, so, a little film geek humor.
Yeah, so it was really bad.
Back to baseball here, Rudy. Now, I don't know if you caught any baseball on your trip, but I noticed Ricky Weeks has been showing some signs of life the past couple weeks. Actually been hitting really well. Any chance of a nice stretch run out of him?
Nah, probably not. who knows, Rick? I mean, like, he's totally worth taking a gamble on for MI. I mean, I'll gamble on anyone. It took a while, but I finally got that Rutledge guy on Colorado to fill in on one of my shallower teams. The thing with Weeks is that, yeah, I just don't. He doesn't have speed anymore. He never really had as much speed as you would have thought. He always seemed like kind of a 25-25 guy. And I think he's only gotten above 20 stolen bases once. So he might throw together some power. I mean, he has power. That's what I'm hoping. You're hoping for power, not probably a lot of average. And maybe get you a little bit on runs. I wouldn't go crazy, but, you know, like, he's probably better than someone on your roster.
You know, it was interesting in the preseason because everyone was drafting Jamil ahead of Ricky, and they're both hitting under 218. So,
and then the Uptons are having a bad year. It's just not a good year.
Well, a year to have a brother, Stephen Drew.
Well, actually, yeah, funny you bring up the Uptons because they both, and it's a statistical anomaly, but I thought it was pretty interesting. They both
wait a minute. You don't ask me about Ricky Weeks.
I'm not. I've told you, Rudy and I are on the same page, Gray. Okay,
it's all right. I had nothing to add anyway. Just busting your chops. I like the other guy in Milwaukee, though. I mean, Jean Segura.
Is it Jean Segura?
Isn't he a singer?
Gene John Segura? Yeah.
No, you're talking about the prospect, the shortstop that was in the
John Angels. Gene?
Yeah, the Angels traded him for
there you go.
Yeah. Oh, that's cuz Gray's got super loves the rookie nookie.
Yeah, I got short eyes. I think he had like 7 homers and 30 steals in 2/3 of a season in Double A. I would look at him in just about all leagues for the I don't know, because at MI, I mean, you know, you've got nothing else there really.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I think you have to look at your team and figure out where you're going to get more points, or at risk for points, stolen bases or homers. And something like a Segura Weeks is a real easy one. If you need the stolen bases, you go with Segura. If you need the power, you go with Weeks.
Right. And if you need an easier to pronounce name, you'd go with Weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
So just to go back to the Upton brothers, because it was pretty interesting. They both hit their 100th career home runs on the same day this week. I'll start with you, Gray, because I don't want you to feel left out.
No, that's fine. That's all right. I'm here. I'll be moral support.
Give me the average stat line for both of these guys over the next 5 years, Gray. And I bring it up because I think every year people expect a lot out of the Upton brothers. And I think more often than not, there tends to be a little disappointment. So what do you forecast the average line for both of them over the next 5 years?
Can I give it to you like I'm a character in Tree of Life?
Yes.
Nature. Grace. Justin, I'd give him 30-15, and BJ, I'd say 15-30.
And what about batting averages?
Justin, I'd say 270, Upton 245.
Okay, what about you, Rudy?
I'm more bearish on BJ Upton. I don't think speed, he's had a good run of stolen bases. Yeah, he's been that's the first thing to go. I could see him, and I don't see the power coming. So I don't know how. I think BJ Upton's probably only got, maybe 1 to 2 years left of being a major league starter. And I think, he'll slowly turn into kind of a guy gets 300 to 400 at bats. He's maybe a fourth outfielder. I'd probably say something closer to 10-20. for him the next couple of years. Now, Justin Upton's a whole different thing. I mean, this year has been a bit disappointing, but he's had some injuries, and he's still young. So, yeah, I mean, I'm seeing him as a 30-homer guy, maybe 10 stolen bases. I'm not convinced he's going to really be a base stealer. But I still think, you know, the long term's looking really good for Justin Upton. And yeah, I don't really know what Arizona's motivational plans are. I don't know if, you know, they've learned from Bobby Valentine or Loria on that one. But yeah, I wouldn't kind of confuse you. But yeah, BJ Upton, it's pretty disappointing from where he was. That his first full year where he just had a great year and that playoff run. And ever since then, it's just been, he's a good defensive guy. So anyone who, you know, loves that stuff, he still seems to have some pretty solid defense. So he has real value, but not really in fantasy.
All right. So Gray, I wanted to ask you, Justin Morneau has been hot, but he's actually been displaying power too recently, which is one of the concerns because he's had so many injuries lately. He's available in more than half of leagues. What do you expect from Mr. Morneau the rest of the season?
I'd say that he's probably good for maybe 7 homers. I think he's had 15 homers now, so around 22 to 24 homers probably on the season sounds about right. Then he, I don't know, his average was much higher than I thought it was going to be last time I looked. I think he was around 275, 280. I think, you know, anything you get from him, it's a plus at this point. I mean, I don't know. His, you know, the concussion and everything else that he went through for the last 2 years, I think now, or 18 months, I wouldn't expect anything, but I definitely would take him and put him on my team and hope I get some power and decent RBIs and average.
Wait, so Gray, are you saying that the fact that the $7 bid I put on him in one of our leagues turned out good?
For, the one that you hated? Yeah, for AL only, yeah. It worked out for sure.
Yeah.
He's been better than Longoria.
I see. Hold
as sad
thought.
As that is to say.
Well, it matters who you replaced him with. He had a good April.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. But in a deep league, you're not replacing him, really.
Yeah. I know. So, I think that's about right on Morneau. I think he should be started right now in just about any league format. You know, whether he's all of a sudden, you know, flipped a switch and he's back to the old Morneau, I don't know. But, you know, it seems like Minnesota's offense has been actually sneaky good this year. And,
Willingham.
It seems like he's just turning it around. But that it's actually, you know, you'd think it's a bad offense, but Spann's a solid leadoff guy. Willingham's been great. Dumit's starting to hit again. You got Mauer's good on base.
Revere's been good.
Yeah. No, I mean, they got the speed. So it's, so I think Morneau, I don't think he'll be, I don't consider him a starting first baseman on teams. I don't think he's probably not top 10, but as a CI, he should be pretty solid.
Rudy, who's more likely to replicate their 2012 breakout next year? Edwin Encarnacion or Melky Cabrera?
It's a tough one. I think Encarnacion is just destined to be an average drain. I don't think the power is real. The thing is, the problem with Melky is that, you know, it's really hard to hit well above 300. Yeah, back to back years. If you look at even someone like an Ichiro, you'll see how they're, you know, you go from 350 to 310 pretty easily. So, I mean, I think Melky, the thing is, he's just not great at anything. So he could put up what I'd consider a solid year, like a 290, 15 homer, 10 stolen base year next year. But that's going to be considered a disappointment. So I would say Encarnacion, that it's more likely he's going to give you plus power than Melky is going to give you plus average.
Okay, Gray, what kind of line do you see from Encarnacion next year?
27 homers, 60 average, 90 RBIs, 75 runs.
All right, I'll take that.
I think they're both going to disappoint next year. I think Rudy went over most of the reasons why, but Melky's not going to hit 350 again, and Carcione is having, you know, he's having a career year right now. So I think either both of the guys are going to end up being disappointments.
I thought Encarnacion was just drinking the Canadian water, so turns into a power hitter, don't you know?
It's Dwayne Murphy.
Another question. Michael Kadire is gone on the DL. Any chance, Rudy, that we see Nolan Arenado this year? The immature Nolan Arenado?
you know, September maybe. I'm not expecting. I mean, you'd think they'd give him a whirl because they're out of it. But
knowing the Rockies, they'll put Helton's jersey on a swivel chair and let it play third base.
Right.
For it's the like better I, part of a month, they'll play Helton swivel chair before Eric Young Jr. I don't think we see Arenado at all.
Yeah, I don't know how it's been so long and Eric Young still hasn't been able to get like any real reps out there. They should just trade Eric Young at this point. But
he could have had a like. Imagine I think I said this on the blog yesterday, but maybe I just said it in my head. I don't know. I write so much of this freaking shit.
Write it on the blog, because if you're saying it on the blog, no one's going to see it.
Yeah, that might have been the problem. And sometimes it feels like that. No, Eric Young Jr., imagine if he was in Chicago with the White Sox. They played Beckham for like 4 years, and he's been so bad.
Yeah, or, I mean,
Eric Young Jr. would have had 500 at-bats on the White Sox.
The Phillies have given Juan Pierre 300 at bats already this year.
I know. How frustrating is it that Scott Hairston Jr. got 300 at bats for the Mets this year after last year of us drafting him in, what was it, labor we drafted him?
No, Scott Hairston all of a sudden, yeah, shows what we always believed in him. We believed in you, Scott Hairston. You obviously didn't pay the favor.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if Arenado was tearing it up in the minor leagues, maybe, but I don't think he was in Double A and he didn't really hit all that impressive. It is pretty funny when you like look at the stat line. I'm looking at his stat line now and it's like, and why is he a big prospect? I'm sure he is, but it's like he's got 9 homers and 467 at bats and a .339 on base percentage.
It's the scouts probably looking at his swing and being like, you know, oh, he can hit to all fields and he's got power to all fields or whatever, you know. He's got a good eye, maybe. Didn't they say something like he was, I guess you alluded to it by saying he was immature, but they said his bat was fine, but his mental state wasn't or something.
Well, I'll never forget this. Years ago when Rasmus was coming up as a prospect, I remember reading a scout report that said 5-tool knucklehead. I don't know if Arenado falls exactly into that category, but
well, Rudy could attest to this. When I was 21 years old, I was a knucklehead. He was too, I was drinking 151 for breakfast. So I mean, I totally feel you, Arenado. You're right.
How old were you, Gray, when the mustache first came in?
13.
Really.
Well, that was when the first facial hair came in. It took until 21 before it actually did called a mustache.
I never revealed this before, but I used to do a comb over from the top of my head through my mustache area. So it wasn't I didn't actually grow a mustache until 21, but from 13 to 21, it was from the top of my head. I combed it down.
You're a handsome devil. The Cougar.
Thank you. But the Cougar's lucky. Cougar's lucky. I tell her every day, too. A couple times a day. She'll attest to that. We should have her on as a guest.
Hey, I'd love to have the Cougar on as a guest.
I bet you would. Slow your roll, Nikki.
Putting up with Gray. Hey, Rudy, you weren't here last week, and I know sorry, go ahead.
No. I'm picturing Friday nights where he's playing buy sell. with body with her body parts. It's like, bye. I'm really happy with the breasts these days. I don't know what's going on. They're really perky. I'm gonna give them a bye. Sell. You know, I don't want to name body parts, but you know,
she's a cougar.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, a little extra attention in the morning.
I told her the other day that she was like, you always talk about taking a flyer on stuff on the blog. What does that mean? So I was like, you know, you took a flyer on me. You saw this young stud that you weren't sure if he could, if you know, if he'd go for a cougar, but you took a flyer and here I am.
Well, you do look like a young Tom Selleck.
She enjoyed that. she's got a good sense of humor, luckily.
Rudy, you weren't here with us last week, and I'm just curious. I know that you're pretty in on the young up and comers, even though Gray might prefer the rookie nookie, which doesn't make sense because he's dating a cougar. But anyway,
I know you would think I'd have like Lance Berkman on my team.
But I'm curious,
but the
Rudy.
Brian Sabian All-Stars.
But Rudy, I'm curious what you think about Michael Olt.
Well, this is what I could at least claim some prescience because I had him in two leagues because I stashed him about 6 weeks ago.
And wasn't he in Round Rock this year too?
No, he was in Double A, so that's okay. Frisco, which is evidently outside of Dallas.
Okay.
I haven't made a trip to the Double A, so yeah, he skipped Round Rock. The first year I actually started going to games there, and aside from a Roy Oswalt sighting, it was pretty awful. Like, yeah, Martin Perez is about as good as it gets, and you look at his Round Rock stats, you can see he wasn't anything special. But Alt's got great power. I like Alt a lot. I mean, you know, when you're thinking about third, he's got a good glove. Yeah, you know, so he. You know, so the thing is, even if he doesn't end up playing third because Beltre's there, if he's a good glove at third, that means he'll be a very good glove at first.
Right.
That's what happened with Teixeira when they had him in Blaylock and he moved to first earlier, but he was a third baseman in college. But Olt's, the one hole in Olt's game is he strikes out a good amount. But if he's got 30 homer power, you can live with the strikeouts, and he has a pretty good eye. So I think for him, it's going to really be playing time and, you know, where they put him in the lineup. Because right now they're putting him up ninth. And, you know, that team's pretty loaded. So you're going to get decent RBIs and runs. But it's a lot better hitting, like, you know, top five or six.
Luckily, and hopefully they don't play Michael Young in a swivel chair at first base.
I know. It seemed like Michael Young's been like cheating the Grim Reaper last year, and it's coming in this year. I forget how many years he has left on his contract, but yeah, it's going to be a little ugly when you have you have Young there. You have I think it comes out they sign Napoli. And at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if Napoli's gone. And then you've got a little bit more flexibility. You don't have to, at first base, DH.
Well, true story. I'm in a, not to talk about my own league, but I'm in a dynasty league, and I had the second waiver. And you were, again, in Ethiopia. So I texted Gray, desperate, and I said, do I burn the second waiver on Olt, or do I, you know, am I waiting for Myers or Hamilton? So he told me Olt. So that's on you, Gray. That's on you.
Yeah. Hamilton. I think we mentioned this on another podcast, but Hamilton's probably a pinch runner in September, and we're not seeing Myers really. He's not. Yeah. Unless Frenchie gets hurt or something.
Great. What about Daniel Straley? He's pitching in whatever the stadium is called in Oakland now.
Oko Ono for hitters.
Number eight. He was leading the minors in strikeouts. I mean, listen, you have to give a bump when they're pitching in whatever the stadium's called. So what do you think about Straley for the rest of the season if you're looking for some pitching rest of the year?
Yeah, he was a minor league leader in K's, and he's pitching in a great pitcher's park. So I'd grab him in every league. I'd burn a waiver on him. I think he could – and he's also, I believe, he's – he was at 160 for his innings pitched last year, so he shouldn't even really get shut down early. He could finish out the year in the rotation. And after Parker, Malone, who else? Griffin. They're all either getting shut down or Griffin's already hurt. McCarthy's going to be hurt again. Anderson's probably, you can't trust him for anything.
Cologne needs, he needs to go in for a cleansing.
Yeah. I would grab him, and you could get, solid ratios, because he's not only is he good for Ks, he's also good with control.
Yeah, I'm definitely bored, and I think it's a good point with that. He's already pitched 150, 160 innings, so he's at 130 or 140 so far this year. So I don't see why he couldn't pitch, at least through like mid September.
Right. Okay, so something to look at there. Another pitcher I wanted to ask about, because he's had such a fantastic season in the bullpen, and as much as we've discussed about Aroldis Chapman, I don't think he's getting his due with the numbers that he's putting up. But my question, Rudy, is will we see Chapman in the bullpen next year, or do you think there's a chance that Cincinnati puts him into the rotation?
It's tough. I mean, it matters where they look in terms of case studies. You look at Chris Sale and you'd say, you put him in this rotation. You look at Daniel Bard and you think the opposite. My gut's saying that Dusty Baker is going to want him in the bullpen. As if Dusty Baker is the coach, I don't see how Chapman, gets dangled as a starter, because he's been otherworldly out of the pen. If it was my team, yeah, I'd give him a run at starting. He's too good, but it's a tough transition. Said yeah, even you have, for every CJ Wilson, you end up with someone like Neftali Feliz.
I think that's the cougar calling you in the background, Greg.
Hello. Hey,
you told me to shave my what? Did you want to get that, or can we continue talking baseball?
I don't know. I didn't even know I had a crown line. I don't know where that's coming from. I live in the city. You hear other people's shit. I'm sorry.
No, I've seen. Listen, I've been to your place. I've seen the phone. You've got the big purple cougar phone that lights up when she calls. It's like the Batcave, man.
I didn't know anyone owned a ground line anymore.
And then there's another one next to it. It's the gray cougar phone for the cougar's cougar.
I didn't put up the cougar signal. What's going on?
All right, guys. Just before
That was Aroldis Chapman. Damn it. I'm checking the caller ID. All right.
No. That was Dusty.
Chapman. Chapman.
Guys, just before we wrap up, I wanted to touch briefly on what might be going on with any of the bullpens post-trade deadline. Obviously, Ryan Cook hasn't looked great in Oakland. Broxton is in Cincinnati. Looks like Holland's going to close in Kansas City. Rudy, what do you see if you're punting for saves or looking for saves rest of the season? How do these affect you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you've got a few situations. San Francisco, where Casilla has just lost it over the last couple of weeks, so you might be able to get a couple cheap saves with someone like an Affelt. Oakland with Ryan Cook. Problem is, there's no one else that you're really looking at. I mean, Doolittle there was doing great, and then he's been lit up the last week or two, and his K rate's gone down dramatically. So I don't know. I mean, maybe they give it to Balfour just so they don't ruin Ryan Cook's thing. So I mean, I guess Balfour is who I'd handcuff with, but I'm not feeling great there. Otherwise, I mean, I feel like everyone who was pitching great, aside from like a Chapman, seems to be coming down to earth. Same with Downs gets hurt. I was getting hit a little bit. Ferrarian is suddenly moving toward a normal ERA.
I think the guy in Angels, if something happens with Ernesto, it's Isringhausen, which is scary.
They said Trout would come in and close.
Yeah, wow. He could do anything.
Trout. He's going to pitch from center field. You don't want to lose the glove.
No, he'll just run the ball in from the mound. No, yeah. Sorry, you were saying it really Isringhausen in
Walden and Downs are both hurt, so
right.
Yeah, or LaTroy Hawkins, which seems even more unlikely.
Oh my god, yeah. They've got like Hawkins and Isringhausen are about 10 years past their peak.
Yeah.
They find, is Darren Oliver and Arthur Rhodes available?
Yes, actually.
where's Todd Jones?
He's polishing the changeup.
I could go from 65 to 45.
It's all about changing speeds.
I was going to say they'd bring Goose Gossage and Rolly Fingers back just so Gray can compare mustaches.
It's a challenge.
Gossage is still ornery.
Yeah, he's still got the ornery, for sure.
All right, guys. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. We'll be back again next week. Thanks for joining us, Gray, Rudy. Thanks for being here, guys.
All right, thanks. All right.
Thanks to executive producer Scott Brown and the staff at Glenmore Records. If you ever need great recording studios in the city of Toronto, visit glenmorerecords.com. And a special thank you to Symphony of Nine for the greatest podcast intro song ever.
It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.